the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Hebert. Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, man. I tell you, it's good to get a little wet, isn't it? A little cool as well.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'll take the rain. Although, let's keep our prayers with those in Florida this morning who are experiencing the powerful effects of Hurricane Idalia. Our prayers are with you, and we hope for safety during this time. So we must keep them in prayer, especially this morning.
You bet. Yes, yes. Yeah, hope they take cover and that it moves through quickly and does no damage and certainly no death. So we pray for all those that are in that way. So we're going to call upon our Lord this morning to get this day started off, as we kind of can't believe this. We're about to wrap up August here. It's already moving through just as fast as a hurricane, it seems like. So let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we begin another day, may we see this as a gift, an opportunity to love even greater than we did yesterday, a chance to see you even more clearly than ever before, to hear your voice rising above the noise, and the strength to withstand every temptation that would deter us from the path that you desire for our happiness, both now and for our eternal salvation. May you, Father, be our truth, your Son's charity be our guide, and may the Holy Spirit be our wings. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
St. Jean Jugin, pray for us. He is our saint of the day. We will learn more later on in today's show. But at 7 after, Johnny has his gospel reflection. Looking forward to getting an insider's point of view on the gospel. And always looking forward, Johnny, to your reflections as well. In 18 minutes, Peter Finney joins us. He's the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Today, Peter will give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue of the Clarion Herald. Lots of great stories, so many wonderful ones. We'll give you details on that. In 35 minutes, Jerry Grafton joins us. She's the founder of Genesis of Eve, and today we're talking about the upcoming Catholic Women's Conference in Alexandria. This is a big one, so looking forward to hearing from Jerry on all of the details. And in 48 minutes, Jordan Haddad joins us. He's a professor of dogmatic theology over at Notre Dame Seminary and the president of the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. Today we are starting our Catholic 101 segment, where we talk about anything that has to do with our faith. Theology, those basic questions that you may have. Well, today we are discussing the desire for God. Why do humans desire God? Our desire for God? How can we desire Him? All of those questions that you may have, Jordan will answer them. So looking forward to today's guest lineup and some wonderful new information that we will learn today. But also, if you have an event in your listening area you want to give us details about, you can send it to us for free at our website at ccmedia.live. We'll talk about it on our morning show, and we'll post it on our website calendar. And so many of you have done that already, and even sent us events for 2024. So you can do that, and you can send us those Advent reflections, Advent events, anything that you may have, those fall festivals. We'll be glad to post it on our website, so you can go ahead and do that at ccmedia.live. Well, Johnny, we have the gospel and your reflection coming up right after the break. Looking forward to learning a little bit more today. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil-doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Oh, Gabby, I think maybe this could easily be spelled the woes, W-H-O-A, like Jesus saying, just stop it. this is part of a stream of Jesus denouncing the religious leaders of the day, of course, these seven woes. And, you know, from a biblical standpoint, there's a lot of history and depth here, because in the Old Testament, particularly in Leviticus 26, we read about how God is offering his people all these promises and all these blessings. But then he says, but you can choose. And if you choose to go against these things, there's these sevenfold penance for them that they go through, and it's pretty daunting. And so and then even more so when you go to the Old Testament and look at these prophets that Jesus is referring to, that these Pharisees supposedly would have gone along with these prophets at the time, there's some really powerful images, just like Jesus is using this image of a whitewashed tomb. So for example, you know, if you look in Ezekiel, you see this image of leaders being like a city in a boiling pot that's full of rust, you know. Mm. And in Isaiah, they're called land grabbers, but the land has gone dry, bearing nothing. And Habakkuk, these leaders are destroyed by the very stones they've used to build their mansions on the backs of others. So now Jesus comes along and puts it even more clearly with this image of whitewashed tombs. That's what he calls them, whitewashed tombs. And of course, as you may remember, this is discussing the practice of how Jews would paint the tombs white so they would avoid them, because if they touched them, they would have to go through a whole cleansing type of a ritual. Mm. And what Jesus is saying is they appear virtuous on the outside, trying to get all of this human respect, but in reality, they're quite corrupt and they're leading the people of God astray. So Jesus is calling them out. But you notice again, this is a warning out of love. He's giving them an opportunity to change. But there's something, just like in all things, when we see Jesus mirroring something in the Old Testament, when it comes to new, he's offering them something even greater here as a blessing, as a reward. And the antidote to this, Jesus, interestingly, is the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes are really these laws not on stone, but in the soul. These blessings that are not only realized in terms of prosperity, but blessings of a deep, intimate union with his son. Jesus is saying the answer to the inner corruption is to let Jesus, to let him, the only pure one, to purify us within. The antidote to hypocrisy is honesty and paradox of the cross. The miracle to ultimate death and destruction is in his resurrection that precedes ours. And so isn't it interesting or ironic that Jesus is talking about these whitewashed tombs, and it will end up that it's the empty tomb is the one thing not to be avoided to find salvation. So kind of turn to us, right? As it always does. This is still also true for us. We have to choose between this worldly respect on the outside or serving God, because sometimes it does come down to either that way, black or white. Even if we're ridiculed for it, and we see this all the time, we're surrounded by hypocrisy today, and those who stand up in the name of it are ridiculed, and you see that everywhere. For example, even some of the names of these movements and these leaders are an affront to God, because on the outside these seem virtuous, but when you look at the effects, they're deadly. So how about this? The term, those leaders of so-called reproductive health. Isn't it bizarre that this actually prevents reproduction and results in death? It's the very opposite of reproduction and health. And then in the church's teaching, obviously, strongly against this and being ridiculed for it. How about gender-affirming care? The leaders for this, even some doctors, psychologists who indoctrinate the young and society with this delusion of reality, and they attempt to take over the roles of parents. And look at the consequences and the horrors of this in terms of its impact. It's the very opposite of care, and it's inventing an idea here. And the church is speaking out. And so we as the church, as the mystical body of Christ, are to stand up and say, look, on the outside, these words sound virtuous, but it's a pot full of rust. The fruits are barren. The stones are going to fall in on yourself, just as the prophets have tried to say and continue to echo. And our Lord certainly calls that out today out of love. So these are heroes to stand up and to speak the truth in charity. Because, right, in the end, these answers don't lie in external movements. They don't come to us by social justice activists, and certainly not some anti-religious state-based morality. But it's on the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the antidote to this, on a truly Catholic culture. So here's the deal. You know, unlike the whitewashed tombs of old that had to be avoided, Jesus rose out of his tomb and he's not going back. That's the way to salvation. To find the way, the truth, and the life is not in a doctrine, is not in words, is not in slogans, and not in outward external shows of virtue, but is through the Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life, inner transformation of ourselves. Be not afraid, he says, Jesus, the truth shall set you free. Anyway, a lot for us to chew on today, right, Gab?
Yes, and I'm always picturing Jesus, especially in these passages, just kind of like face palming and just being like, what don't you guys understand? Like, how do you not get it? How I'm so clear, you know, and you can see it and you can read it. And it's just, I don't know. But I feel like he's like that with us too. You know, Gabby, like, why'd you do that again? Or why, you know better. You know, we do it every day. We're human. But like you said, we have to turn to him, seek that peace and that guidance. Every day is a new day. And we're just going to try again. Seek his will and make sure we do what he wants us to do.
Amen. His glory, not ours, right? Well, let's find out what's happening in the area. Join us next is Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald. It's quarter past the hour. Time to wake up, get going. It's a new day. Be right back.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for August 30th. Today we celebrate Saint Jean Jugon. Born to a poor family in France in 1792, Jean learned early the meaning of hard work. But she also learned the beauty of the faith passed on to her by her widowed mother. Later, as a kitchen maid, Jean often accompanied her mistress on visits to the sick and poor. For many years, Jean did hospital service and domestic work. In her late 40s, she took the first tentative steps to forming what was to become a new congregation, the Little Sisters of the Poor. Members took vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and hospitality, with special focus on the elderly poor. As the congregation grew, squabbles and jealousy surfaced. Jean, known as Sister Mary of the Cross, was a talented organizer and fundraiser. But her spiritual director instructed her to live a life of quiet obscurity behind the mother house walls. She dutifully obeyed, spending her last 27 years quietly supervising the manual work of the postulants. 14 years after Jean's death in 1879, she was officially recognized as foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor. She was canonized by Pope Benedict XVI in 2009. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert, and I want to formally apologize to our saint of the day, Saint Jean Jugon. I said that the saint of the day was a he, but she's a she, and I love that, so I'm sorry that I got the wrong person. I actually have never heard of Saint Jean Jugon or really looked into her before, so learning something new every day. So Saint Jean Jugon, pray for us. That was a wonderful
pray
story
for
we
us.
Heard. from our saint of the day. Oh my goodness. Well, our first guest today is Peter Finney. Peter is the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald. And Peter, I know it's a Wednesday morning, but we're so glad to have you join us today. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Gabby. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, wonderful stories that we can find. There's so many wonderful stories we can find in this week's Clarion Herald. I mean, you just packed it all in. Let's start with the first one I happened to see on Facebook last night, which was one of the decisions that Father Otis Young made as pastor of St. Peter Church. One of his last decisions was to okay a construction of a small chapel. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this one?
That's right. He was getting ready to retire. Now, of course, he had had a stroke and was kind of rehabbing from that and had served for many months despite having the stroke. But Michael Krause, the principal at St. Peter's School, one of his dreams was always to have an on-campus small chapel in the school building. And when the school built a new two-story classroom building, it opened up space in one of the former religion classrooms. And Father Otis said, "You're going to go do this." And so, through donations and all kinds of things, this chapel is just incredible. Our Lady of Grace Chapel is what it's called, and it seats 36 people. And students and teachers throughout the day can go there in the morning or really during the day on their recess for prayer, for just quiet time. Sometimes they'll have adoration and even mass. And the idea is, you know, the church is, you know, across the street and it's there and they certainly still use the church. But the fact that there's a chapel within the school building itself, it really, Michael Krause was saying how much Father Otis loved that idea and having Christ being the center of the school. So it was the Archbishop dedicated the chapel last week, and it's really beautiful. There's a beautiful picture, a portrait of Father Otis at the entrance to the chapel, which he's so beloved. Of course, Father Otis was tragically murdered in 2022, mm-hmm. along with the former pastoral associate Ruth Pratt in a horrible crime. And he's so beloved by the community, and it's a really wonderful dedication legacy to him.
My goodness, absolutely amazing. And you can go check out those pictures on the Facebook page. I believe Archbishop Amen shared it last night on his Facebook page.
That's right.
I was looking at that. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, go definitely check that out. Wonderful pictures. Well, Peter, we're going on to another big story that you have in this week's Clarion Herald, and it's about Father Jeffrey Montz. How is he doing?
He is he's doing remarkably well. For those who don't know, Father Montz, 40 years old, wonderful priest. He's a spiritual director at Notre Dame Seminary. About 3 months ago, he was on vacation with his family in Tennessee, and he was riding his bicycle in the beautiful Smoky Mountains, and he noticed kind of getting numb on his left side, and just he kind of felt funny. He's had these things in the previous maybe couple years, and kind of just, well, it's just maybe I'm just getting nervous or whatever. And but then when he came home to New Orleans, a similar thing happened. His vision started closing in, and his mother and he was getting numb again on the left side. His mother said, "We're going to the doctor," and of course, when they went to the doctor, they found a large a brain tumor, and obviously very, very serious. And at first, the thought was they could not operate on him, but a second surgeon said, "No, I think we can operate and get most of it out." And it was what they did about 1 month ago. And in fact, the night before he went into surgery, he was giving a talk in Abita Springs to a St. Peter Parish group on the occult, and he was talking about, you know, the dangers of the occult. Here he was, you know, wow. 8 hours before surgery giving a talk, and the amazing thing is he's come out of surgery very well. His vision is still a little bit unclear, and he has to kind of close one eye when he's reading the liturgy of the hours, and so he is he's doing that, but he's back at the seminary, and he's getting ready to start radiation and chemotherapy. And so he's just so thankful for the thousands of people who have prayed for him through the intercession of Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And it's been a personal devotion to him. And he's just so thankful for so many people who are praying for him, for his recovery. So continue to pray for him every day. He's a great guy, a wonderful homilist. I don't know if anybody's ever heard him celebrate Mass. He's tremendous and just so loved at Notre Dame Seminary and elsewhere.
Amazing. We're definitely going to continue to pray for him as well. And thank you for the update on how he's doing, Peter. We appreciate that. Well, another big story is Notre Dame Seminary is gearing up for its 100th anniversary. We had the joy of talking to Father Josh Rodrigue just yesterday about this. It was a wonderful interview to get an update from the seminary. How is the Clarion Herald covering this?
Yes, well, we did a big feature story on the seminary celebrating its centennial, 100 years. And how many thousands of priests have they prepared for the altar, for Southeast Louisiana over those decades? I mean, it's incredible. And Father Rodrigue said it's just it's a humbling experience, when you think of the number of Catholic priests who have been formed inside those walls. The seminary, of course, there was a seminary in New Orleans before Notre Dame Seminary, elsewhere, but it's been on South Carrollton Avenue in its traditional place for 100 years, and so there'll be a rector's dinner, and there's going to be in September 14th, and then there will be the documentary film premiere of the history of Notre Dame Seminary. That's going to be there's going to be a little party for that on the 15th, and then on the 16th, Saturday at 10 o'clock. At St. Louis Cathedral, September 16th, will be a centennial mass. And so it's a great time for a celebration for the 100 years of forming men to be priests. And they've done just such an incredible job.
Most definitely. Looking forward to seeing that and learning a little bit more and reading this in the Clarion Herald. Another story you have is over at Xavier University. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what is going on over there?
Sure. When Bishop Ferd Cherie passed away earlier this year, his brother Richard, he knew that he had more than 6,000 CDs of gospel music and other sheet music, along with other sacred artifacts that he had picked up in his lifetime, especially relics, Blessed Silos, those kind of things. Wow. And the family got together, what can we do to let people, see these things? And Xavier University has now begun a collection and an exhibit of the life of Bishop Cherie, and it's on display in the Xavier University Library on the third floor. And outside, you can go up there and see different vestments, different relics, and different information about the life of Bishop Cherie. And then, in addition, kind of separately but kind of related, the Archdiocesan Gospel Fest, which has been held every year since Bishop Cherie started back in 1978, has been renamed in his honor. So it's now called the Bishop Ferdinand Cherie Gospel Fest, and that's going to be in September, later this month, on September 16th. At 6 o'clock at the Carver Theater. So he was always, a lot of times in his homilies, he would break out into song and into a spiritual or something. And it was he was such a very lively and wonderful person, So I'm so glad that his life can be honored through Xavier and through the Gospel Fest.
Me too. My goodness, this and so many other stories. Do you have another story that you would like to talk about that we should take a look at whenever we pick up our copy?
Yeah, there's a lot of the former Mercy Academy, which was right next to Holy Name of Jesus Church, and they served for many, many years, since like 1959 to about 1992. That building is now owned by Loyola University, and it's being converted now. It's being torn down and built into a dorm for Loyola University.
Wow.
And the Mercy Academy graduates talking about how much the school meant to them and how much Mercy still lives on in their hearts, and how they were changed by the Mercy Sisters.
I know more dorms are needed over at Loyola. Amazing. Go ahead, Johnny.
I ask you real quick about the kids section. Anything particular in there?
We're going to have our first kids section in the next issue. Actually, it's Beth Donzie is preparing that, and I'll I'll reflect on that next time.
I like the kids' clarion too, because it's so down to earth and it's adorable and inspiring. So, and the Clarion Herald does such a great job covering this in the Archdiocese. Yes. Peter Finney, editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald. You can pick up your copy in the Archdiocese, back at church, commercial outlets, or read online at clarionherald.org. Peter, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate it.
Definitely check out their Facebook page too, Clarion Herald on Facebook. They post pictures and different stories that you can go and take a look. Also, go take a look at that chapel on Facebook as well, on Archbishop Amon's Facebook page. Pretty
cool.
Love
how we're honoring these.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, I really love how we're honoring these priests while, you know, in our area, you know, that have gone on and also continuing, right, Gabby? It's good to celebrate them.
Yes, most definitely. Absolutely, Johnny. Thank you. Jerry Grafton joins us. She is the founder of Genesis of Eve. We're talking about a women's conference when we come back from the break. It's half past the hour on Wake Up. It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert. Our next guest is Jerry Grafton. Jerry is one of the founders of Genesis of Eve, and today we're talking about the upcoming Catholic Women's Conference in Alexandria, Louisiana. Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I love promoting women's conferences because there are so many, but they're so fruitful. And I've attended a few of them, and I have to say that they can be very beneficial to jumpstarting your prayer life and forming that deeper relationship with Jesus. Tell our listeners a little bit more about what Genesis of Eve is.
Well, Genesis of Eve was birthed from my sister-in-law and I going to a women's conference in Lafayette. And we just were so on fire. We were like, we have to bring this to Alexandria. So quickly the Lord formed a beautiful board. There's five of us that have been diligently at work and have each brought our gifts and talents to the table and have created this ministry through the help of God.
Well, and tell us about the upcoming conference. So the 2023 Genesis of Eve theme is Be Not Afraid. I think that's a perfect one for these times that we're living in. Absolutely crazy. But Be Not Afraid, that's something that we should keep in mind every day.
Yes. When we first started forming the ministry, Joan of Arc was definitely one of the patron saints for us. And we loved, you know, her saying, Be Not Afraid, I was born for this. And so we chose her to be our patron saint for this conference. And Be Not Afraid. It was a theme that just kept coming over and over. And that's the truth that we want to speak into these ladies when they come. It's like, go forth and do what God's called you to do and be not afraid.
Yes. And talk about how this conference can help women really jumpstart their prayer life, but also find who they are as women, that uniqueness that they bring to everyday lives, family life, to themselves, that they're single, their relationships, and why they should attend this conference.
Absolutely. The biggest thing is we women, we stay so busy. Whether you're a mom, whether you're single, we're all running in different directions. And it's not very often that we have the opportunity to really step away from all of those roles and just come before the Lord and fully encounter Him, be empowered by Him, and receive that fresh fire so that we can go forth and evangelize for Him, right? So that's what we wanted to create, was this holy moment that you could step out of your life, come into a beautiful setting with flowers all around and beautiful surroundings, surrounded by beautiful women. We'll have amazing music. We have been blessed with the most incredible speaking team of speakers from all over, Father Leo being our priest. And we just wanted them to be saturated in the presence of God so that they can do what He's calling us to do in these times.
Most definitely. Give us the dates, details, where is it being held, how much does it cost?
Yes, it is going to be held on September 8th, 9th, and 10th. So it's coming up next week, a week from Friday, we will begin. Check-ins are at 3 o'clock, and the event starts at 6. It will be downtown in Alexandria at the Riverfront Convention Center. It's going to be all weekend long. You will be served meals, and the tickets are $225. We are offering, you know, discounts for military and college students of 15%. And we have all of that set up on our website, which is genesisofeve.org. And you could purchase the tickets also through Eventbrite.
Great. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a sneak peek of what some of the speakers will be touching on?
They are going to be, again, just going over, you know, we're tying in the Be Not Afraid theme throughout all of their talks. There will be a panel discussion that's going to be held Saturday afternoon, and that's going to be with Sarah Swofford, Sarah Christmeyer, Jackie Angel, and Father Leo. They will all be there. Father Leo is also going to be doing a book signing at one point. And also, there's going to be incredible shopping opportunities. We have the most incredible 14 vendors that are coming that will have booths set up, and they'll have plenty of time to shop as well, because, you know, we ladies, we like to shop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the biggest theme is going to be just be not afraid, and we're going to have an incredible music team, so there's going to be lots of worship, lots of great music. It's just going to be a beautiful, beautiful weekend.
Jerry, what makes this event so unique? You know, one of the things that I mentioned earlier is there's so many ways for women to gather, conferences, prayer groups in their parish. What makes your conference so unique, and why should women attend?
Well, like I said, it's kind of a one-stop shop. You can go to a prayer meeting, and that's just prayer. You can go to, you know, mm-hmm. Mass, and that's beautiful, and that's Mass. You could go to adoration, and we're going to have all of those things packed into this one weekend experience. So they're going to hear beautiful talks. They're going to have fellowship with each other and meeting people from all over. Last year we had, mm-hmm. I think, 16 people came from 16 different states. We're expecting even more. So it gives you an opportunity to fellowship with other Christian women from all over. And we're going to have processional adoration, which is such a beautiful experience if you've never been in that. If you've never had that experience, it's just going to, like I said, it's going to be all in one. We'll have the bishop doing our Mass. Our bishop is Robert Marshall, and he will be doing our Mass on Sunday. So that's going to be another beautiful opportunity as well.
I love this. Well, and I love opportunities for people to gather together and strengthen their prayer life and their relationship with Jesus. Jerry, I can tell that this has made an impact on you, Genesis of Eve. How has it? And can you tell our listeners how this conference has also impacted your life as well?
Well, I am a convert. I became Catholic in 2018. And this conference and putting it together and working so closely together with other beautiful children of God has just really enriched my life to just serve. And like I said, going to that conference and being fed in such a deep way and experiencing God through all of the different things, praying the rosary, praying the Divine Mercy Chapel, being around other women, worshiping together, all of that just brought it to life for me and enriched me. And so, like I said, I wanted to give back. And it's so unique how God put our team together, because we're such diverse, the five of us that are the founders for the board. And yet God has used each of our differences to make such a complete team and be able to put this beautiful event together. Not one of us could have done it alone. It has taken all of us working together and just allowing God to use us. So it's just been a beautiful experience all the way around.
I love that. And I think what you just said right there about a little tidbit about your story, your conversion story to the church, I think a lot of people needed to hear that, and a lot of women as well. Sometimes as women, we need to see and hear that we're not alone in certain situations. So I love that you told us a little bit more about that. Jerry, one more time, give us the dates and where we can go to purchase our tickets, because like you said, the conference is coming up next weekend.
Yes. The conference is next Friday, a week from Friday, so September 8th, 9th, and 10th. It begins at 6 p.m. on Friday, and it goes through Mass on Sunday. We'll conclude about 11:30 on Sunday. It is going to be downtown at the Riverfront Convention Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. And you can go to genesisofeve.org to purchase your tickets. And check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We're on all the socials.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jerry Grafton, founder of Genesis of Eve. We're talking about the Catholic Women's Conference in Alexandria. I linked it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, genesisofeve.org. Thank you so much, Jerry, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate y'all.
Go check out their website. It is very sparkly and pretty, and I absolutely love it. So I was actually there for quite some time, but check out the wonderful work that Genesis of Eve is doing as well. When we come back from the break, Johnny will be talking to Jordan Haddad of Notre Dame Seminary. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
And you've tuned your heart to the truth this morning. Thank you so much for doing that. Spread the word. Tell your friends, family. Get bumper stickers. Proclaim the word of God. So get glad to have you with us. It's about 48 past the hour this morning, and we are really excited to begin a series for you this, you know, in the next, well, we'll see how long this goes, but I think it's going to be fantastic. We are going to be talking Catholic 101, and to do that, to walk us through that, Jordan Haddad, who is the professor of dogmatic theology at Notre Dame Seminary, and he's also the president of the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. He's going to be kind of walking us through Catholic 101. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. It's great to be with y'all.
It is, and you know, Jordan, the timing of this is great. We're as many parishes are doing, RCIA classes, OCIA is going to be changed too, is starting all over, and so we crack open the catechism and we start right where you want to start, the desire for God. So let's talk about this. Why do you think this is the place to start, Jordan?
Well, it's a great place to start because that is where the catechism itself starts, which, of course, the catechism is a great gift from the church that outlines, you know, many of the different tenets of our Catholic faith and doesn't just tell us what we believe, but also gives us some really rich understanding of why we believe it. And in the catechism, before uttering a single word about divine revelation or scripture or tradition, it begins by first speaking about that human desire for God. Because the revelation of God in the Old Testament and in Jesus Christ, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Rather, it occurs in the concrete situation and the wider context of a human race, of a human life that's already in search of God, whether we realize it or not. Because he's created us with an innate desire for himself, for he who is that source of life, of truth, of goodness, and of beauty. And you can see this in paragraph 27 of the Catechism, which states so eloquently, the desire for God is written in the human heart, because man is created by God and for God. God never ceases to draw man to himself. Only in God will he find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. And that paragraph is echoed by one of the most famous lines in our tradition from St. Augustine, who in his work, The Confessions, says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And so we human beings are these unique creatures in all of the earth that are made with a desire that's bigger than ourselves, a desire that is bigger than what we are, that outstrips ourselves, as it were, which I think if we really reflect upon it is something that we can come to experience and realize maybe if we hadn't before. because this infinite desire, this unconditioned, unrelenting desire for more truth, for more goodness, for more life, is really, in its own way, already an innate desire for God himself.
Right. Wow. You know, it's what's powerful about that is how universal this is all through the centuries, other culture, continents. It's not even evolutionarily explainable that this all people have had this inner call, this desire, St. Augustine mentions. Mm-hmm. But, Jordan, what's interesting about this is it's not just a one-way street, right?
That's right. The good news is that this desire for God that we already have, this sort of infinite, expansive desire that, you know, once we have the thing we're looking for, we find ourselves restless for more. That desire already is God himself searching us out, because wow. he stirs within us the desire for himself even before he manifestly reveals himself in salvation history, and even before we find ourselves even capable of really articulating and thinking about the mystery of God, already this desire within us for him is itself the work and gift and grace of God.
Yeah, that is just something that I think it's love. There's no other explanation for. In fact, we could talk about that from a rational standpoint, because I mean, sometimes the most obvious thing eludes us. The fact that we can use our reason to even contemplate God, and yet our reason tells us there's something beyond reason. That is something we could not have invented. That had to be coming to us just as we're going to him. In other words, this is a reasonable God. This is a rational God. And this is not some abstract being that's out there. Talk about that, how we are so wired, and he wired us to seek him and to receive him.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are the kinds of creatures, unlike the many other, you know, things that populate our earth, we are the kinds of creatures that transcend ourselves. You know, a bird, says G.K. Chesterton in The Everlasting Man, one of his great books, he says a bird, you know, does what he can and seeks to build out a shelter and a nest so that he can, you know, find, you know, comfort and safety and whatnot. And that bird, upon building that nest, chirps happily and rests. And in a certain sense, its desire for that immediate sort of material biological good finds its end and therefore comes to a conclusion. Whereas we human beings, we're the kinds of creatures that always seek to go beyond ourselves. Now, in our present moment, this can take a really bad form, like transhumanism, for example, where we're trying to change who and what we are, to become something more, become something else. But I would argue that even that sort of ideological transhumanist desire and work is itself, it's a misunderstood and misapplied Christian desire, a desire not to become something other than human, but a desire for he who can fulfill our humanity. And in the abstract, of course, we can say we seek ultimate truth, truth itself. We seek ultimate good, goodness itself. But what we come to see in the course of salvation history is that truth itself and that goodness itself has a name, and it's a person, and that's God. And this God addresses us personally. And so God is both stirring us indeed within ourselves and our own desires to seek after him. But then he also, of course, comes down to meet us and to address us person to person so that one day we can see him face to face.
Well, Jordan, we're gonna have to pick up there, but then you're leading right into how God does that through his revealing himself to us. Well, thanks for getting us kicked off, Catholic 101, Jordan. Really looking forward to diving and moving ahead with that great foundation. Thank you so much. How can we stay in touch with you and find out more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so of course, at Notre Dame Seminary, we're just starting off the new semester, and it's an exciting time for both, you know, priestly formation to form men to serve as leaders in our church, as well as our lay leaders locally in the archdiocese and beyond. And so supporting the seminary is always a good thing to do, because the Lord is always calling priests.
Yes.
And those men need good formation to be able to serve the people. And then with the Art Society, we have our upcoming soiree event in November, and you can learn more information about that and our mission at sl9art.com.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, let's go out with prayer. Yes. My Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord, lead us to yourself, for only you can fill our hunger. Be with us this day and bless all those that we cherish and that we love. Keep us out of harm's way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.